J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Oh, Grandpa wore his suit and tenor nearly every day. No particular reason, he just dressed that way. Brown necktie and matching vest, both his wingtip shoes. He built a closet on a high back porch, put a penny in a burned out fuse. Grandpa was a carpenter, he built houses, stores, and banks. Chain smoked Camel cigarettes and hammered nails and planks. He was level on a level, shaved even every door, and voted for Eisenhower, cause Lincoln won the war. Well, he used to sing me Blood on the Saddle and rock me on his knee and let me listen to the radio before we got TV. Well, he'd drive to church on Sunday and he'd take me with him too. Stained glass in every window, hearing aids in every pew. Grandpa was a carpenter, he built houses, stores, and banks. Chain smoked Camel cigarettes and hammered nails and planks. He was level on a level, shaved even every door, and voted for Eisenhower, cause Lincoln won the war. Now my grandma was a teacher, went to school in Bowling Green, traded in a milking cow for a Singer sewing machine. Well, she called her husband Mister, and she walked real tall and proud, and used to buy me comic books after Grandpa died. Grandpa was a carpenter, he built houses, stores, and banks. Chain smoked Camel cigarettes and hammered nails and planks. He was level on a level, shaved even every door, and voted for Eisenhower, cause Lincoln won the war.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
John Prine, just love him. How you doing, kids? Tuesday, April 19th, 2022. 212 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. You are at jcontheline.com. You know, it's interesting. There's a little suburb, western suburb of Chicago called Maywood. And Maywood was the home of not only John Prine, but also Judy Tenuta. Does anybody remember this chick with the accordion, the petite flower? There were a lot of people scratching their heads going, what the hell is in the water in Maywood, Illinois? But and then Judy Tenuta, this is another one of those things that a lot of people didn't know. When you watch a ball game, when the Cubs and the Cardinals play, and you're watching a game from Wrigley Field, and they have the shot from the press box, and you see the entire field, you see the bleachers out in left center field, right center field, and right beyond the scoreboard, just to the right, there's a really, really tall building that appears to be, well, it's sort of an optical illusion. It's actually pretty far away, but it appears to be really, really close to Wrigley Field. It's about a 40-story apartment building. In that building is where comedian Emo Phillips lived, and he was living there with the petite flower Judy Tenuta. How's that for a piece of completely useless show business trivia? The St. Louis Blues are on fire, absolutely on fire. They're going for their 10th straight win tonight. The record is 10. By the way, and the Boston Bruins are in town. And whether it's tonight or somewhere down the line, the next win for Coach Berube will take him past Brian Sutter in the all-time St. Louis Blues head coach win list. And this is one of those things I talk about every once in a while. Roger Cobert, formerly of Camo X Radio, a good friend of mine. He's a great guy, one of the few people who talked to me when I worked at Camo X. Everybody was so dickish over there. But anyway, he's got a new coffee table book. We're going to have him on the air in a couple of days. And I was doing the math on this thing. Now, again, anybody who has listened to me for a long time knows that if I start trying to do math, we're going to get ourselves in trouble really, really quickly. So I was really careful on this. But let's talk about the fact that if you go to, and we're going to switch over to baseball here to prove my point, or to attempt to prove my point. You go to a Cardinal game, Saturday night, Busch Stadium, 46,000 people in the place. Say the average age of the person in that ballpark is probably about 30 years old. Because that takes into consideration all of the rich people and families and stuff like that that have had field boxes for years and years and years, sometimes decades, sometimes generations. And it's a priority that they have these seats. You know, it's like, you know, somebody's grandfather started taking them to the game, and then they started taking their kids, and then their kids took their kids. And sometimes, you know, you have several generations of people who have had those seats in the family, and they're never going to give them up. You know, they might not have been on vacation in 30 years, but they're not giving up those Cardinal tickets. So you have all those people who tend to be a little bit older, the rich people down in the field boxes. But then, you know, you go up into the mezzanine, the lows, you go into the bleachers, and you go upstairs into the upper deck, and the age starts to sink. But I think I can make a convincing case for the idea that the average age in the ballpark on a typical Saturday night, you factor in everybody, comes out to about 30. So now, assume that you're about 10 years old when you really become a baseball fan. And again, we're just speaking in general terms here. Don't, you know, try to pin me down on this. I'm just speaking in general terms. So if you're 30, that means you were born in 1992. It means you became a fan in 2002. That means on any given night at Busch Stadium, half of the ballpark never even saw Ozzie Smith play a game. Because Ozzie retired in, what was it, 97, I think. You know, when I was a kid, I would hear stories of Walter Alston, you know, Joe Pignatano and stuff like that. And even a guy like DiMaggio. It was all legend. It was all stuff that you had heard about. So when you think about it, it starts to get really scary. First of all, we were all older than we thought we were when you hear something like that. But it really does shake you up a little bit. And if you're Ron Jacober, who has written this book about the 1964 Cardinals, you think to yourself, well, how do you make that palatable? Because you can't just, if you're going to write a book, you have to say to yourself, who's the book for? And needless to say, you're trying to sell books. That's the whole idea of publishing. And if your publisher says, well, who's this book for? And you're like, well, people who were around in 1964, you're like, that ain't going to fly. Because now you're talking about a book that, you know, you got to be well into your 50s before this book would mean anything to you. Well, they sent me a copy of the book the other day, and that is not the case. Because there's great stuff in here. Probably, again, it's safe to say, but I'm speaking in generalities, the game of baseball relies most heavily on statistics from the past, more so than any other sport. It really is an important aspect of being a Major League Baseball fan. But we're going to have Ron on the air in a couple of days. We're going to talk about this book, and it's really, really cool. You got Father's Day coming up in not too distant future, and this is one of those things where, trying to see how much this book is. What did they put the price on this thing? Oh, $40. $40. Well, you'd probably spend $40 on Dad anyhow for Father's Day. You better. He's your dad. But we'll get into all that in a couple of days, like I said, when we have Ron on the air. Speaking of other St. Louis media icons, one would be Dave Murray. And now you know why Dave always says the magical date in the St. Louis area is May 15th. Because anytime before that, you're rolling the dice with regard to outdoor plants, vegetables. Some people figure, well, I'm going to take my chisel, I'm going to plant tomatoes or something like that. And then the frost comes. And that's what we're looking at this morning. And we're not even in May yet. We've got a month to go before we can safely say, according to Dave, and we've had situations where it snowed on opening day and it has snowed in the month of May. Well, we'll get some pretty good storms tomorrow afternoon through the Midwest, but right now the whole story is cold. Temperatures in the low 30s across the entire region, but that's the date you should work with if you want to be smart, May 15th. One more sports note, Yuri Collins gone from SLU, entering that thing called the transfer portal, but He's done, and that's a huge blow to the SLU basketball program. Tomorrow is 420. We will deal with that in appropriate terms, I guarantee you. I still can't believe that Fox 2 is letting Tim Azell preach on television. And then, last night, I was watching Channel 11, and he's on there, too. So they're running these segments on both Fox 2 and KPLR, and I still can't even believe that in a city the size of St. Louis, okay, we're not talking about Biloxi, Mississippi. We're not talking about some little dinky town in Alabama. We're talking about market number, well, I guess we're 24 now. Market number 24, and you got a guy, you got a reporter on there who goes on every night and just preaches like you're in fucking church, and they run it as part of the news program. I'd like to see who made that deal, and I'd like to know why. I'm not one of those. I'm not a Karen just sitting there, you know, throwing up my arms and complaining about every little thing I see. But I find this deeply offensive and really small market thinking and just a bad idea. You want to do it the way NBC News does it, and that irritates me too. But they, you know, you've got 22 minutes to tell the entire United States what happened today. And you're going to use two of those very, very precious minutes at the end of your newscast every day to do this thing called Inspiring America. So that's sort of their version of this whole thing. I stopped watching Channel 5 when Mike Bush started, every time you turn on the news, not only are they doing one of these inspirational making a difference pieces, but they're like 3 or 4 minutes long. When I turned in stories at 5 and 4 when I worked there, and Channel 2, because I worked at all three stations at one time or another, yeah, minute 30, minute 35, minute 40, and you're pushing your luck. Some, you know, physically challenges a little boy or some little girl in a wheelchair or something like that. It's okay to do those stories, but to force them in every day as part of your newscast is where they start making errors in judgment, I think. News is news. Preaching is preaching. Do an inspirational story? Sure. Once in a while, there's nothing wrong with it. Not every fucking day, because there isn't that much inspirational stuff going on in a city the size of St. Louis, which means, and it only stands to reason, that some stuff is getting on the air that probably doesn't belong on the air, because you just don't have that much stuff to choose from. I was talking about Ron Jacober, formerly of KMOX. On this date in 1993, Bob Hardy died. He had a heart attack cutting the grass, but he smoked like a chimney. I think he was only about 60, but it was the smokers club in there. You know, when you work at a radio station that had been constructed in the maybe like the 1960s sometime, which is the way the KMOX at that time when they were on One Memorial Drive, radio stations back then, every radio station, every place I had ever worked that had been built earlier than about 1970, had this white acoustical paneling that was on the inside of the studios, and they had this stuff on the walls, they had it on the ceiling, the whole thing, and it was white. It was supposed to be white. At KMOX, it was all sort of a yellowish brown from all the nicotine stains and just from decades of Ann Keefe and Bob Hardy and all those people just smoking and smoking and smoking. Well, you know, you end up checking out at 60 years old. There you go. The funniest thing about Bob Hardy was that when he died, people were like, you know, and the beautiful thing about it is we listened to Bob Hardy on KMOX every day, and he was so impartial. He was such a professional journalist that he would just read you the news and you didn't even know what side of the news he was on. Well, if you didn't know that from listening to Bob Hardy, then you're stupid, okay? This is a guy who, to the day he died, was still upset about Elvis. You imagine that? He would routinely talk about how, you know, Elvis really ruined society, ruined our children. It's like, wow, Elvis, huh? You got any complaints about Tokyo Rose while you're at it? I was at the Westport Playhouse on this date back in 1988, emceeing for Jay Leno at the Westport Playhouse. We did lots of shows with Jay at that place. And in 91, it was the Foreman Holyfield fight. This is a big fight. And did I mention tomorrow is 420? See, when you imbibe, you can't remember whether you said it or not. That was supposed to be a joke. Never mind. It's one of the stupidest stories I've seen, at least this month. USFL. The USFL is back. I didn't even know that, okay? USFL running back Demion Smith fired for being disrespectful because a staffer was serving the team chicken salad, but he wanted pizza instead. The league released video of Smith's coach firing him, and most people think it makes the organization look pretty bad. What the hell is going on? Speaking of football, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers take on Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen on the golf course. Capital One's The Match takes place June 1st in Vegas. It'll be broadcast on TNT. By the way, if you're mystified by this whole Tom Brady, I'm retiring, and no, I'm not. So what they're saying down in Florida now is that what happened was that Tom Brady wanted to become the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. And what he thought was that he could retire, and then his team, the Tampa Bay Bucks, would just sort of go on with their own business, not having him, Tom Brady, part of the equation. And somehow that would release Brady, like somehow he would just become some sort of magical free agent or something, and then go down and play in Miami. But the Bucs organization said, if for some reason you change your mind, you are our property. You can't just go pick a team and go play for him. It's not how it works. And that's how the whole thing ended up breaking up. Anyhow, Brady will be back. He'll be playing with Tampa, and that's that. I didn't put this up yesterday, and here's the reason why. About a month ago, I got the first trailer for the new Top Gun movie, which comes out, I don't know, it's in May or something. And the footage they sent was fantastic. There's only one problem. It's the same fucking movie. We've already seen the one in the 80s a million times, and you turn on cable, and it's always there somewhere. It's like Seinfeld reruns. It's like Friends. It just seems like that's all we've been hearing about is the new Top Gun movie. Well, if all it's going to be is just some new characters plus Tom Cruise, some guy dies early on in the movie, and then everybody's experiencing the angst of having lost a comrade, and put some girls in there, and then some conflict, and then a war, and then you got to fly around, and some guy doesn't feel confident enough to do it, and Tom Cruise goes, no, you can't. I mean, all these years, people are like, well, we need a sequel. They finally put it out, and that's it. Now, again, this is just the stuff from the trailer, and that's what I saw a month ago. So they put out another trailer yesterday and said, hey, feel free to put this on your website or put it on your Facebook page. Let everybody know that the movie is coming, and oh my. And I watched it, and it was like Tom Cruise is trying to convince us that he, in essence, turned all of these actors into legitimate pilots. So, they had to learn how to escape an aircraft that landed in the water and how to operate cameras and be their own director while flying. And, oh, yeah, just release the movie already. I'll decide whether you guys did a good job. But I'm starting to seriously lower my expectations. It'll be a great movie for anybody who never saw the original, or if you've just emerged from a coma. And again, I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know, but I can only go by what they're releasing, and what they're releasing looks like a rehash of the same old story. Go see yourself a romantic comedy. There's a website called TheRinger.com, and they listed the 50 most romantic comedies in history. Is it history? In history, okay? In history, out of all of the movies made from the beginning of talkies. So what are the best romantic comedies? And it tells me whoever made this list is about 30 years old. When Harry Met Sally, number one, from 89. From 90, Pretty Woman. You've Got Mail, 98. Clueless, 95. Jerry Maguire, 96. Notting Hill, 99. Sleepless in Seattle. You getting the idea? Late Night Tonight, Aaron Paul, Mark Maron, on with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got the cast of Black-ish talking about the series finale. Colbert's got Neil deGrasse Tyson. James Corden has Elle Fanning. Seth Meyers gets a visit from Tina Fey. Somebody put together clips from Steven Seagal's legendary Saturday Night Live episode. If you're a big, big series fan of SNL, you know that to a man, everybody who was around back then, including Lorne Michaels, everybody says the worst episode they ever cranked out was the one with Steven Seagal. I haven't had a chance to watch this. If it's any good, I'll put it on my Facebook page today at the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. I'll watch it first. I have the bar set pretty high around here. If it's no good, I don't use it. All right, birthdays today. Maria Sharapova, Russian tennis star. By the way, if I were Russian and I were a celebrity, even if I was an athlete, I would just hide right now, because you don't need anybody asking you a question about the war that's going on and you answer it the wrong way. You know, you have one word that is misused or out of place, and the next thing you know, you're canceled. I would just hide. I'd play tennis and not even do any interviews. afterwards. Anyhow, she's 35 today. Hayden Christensen, Anakin Skywalker, 41. Kate Hudson was just watching her on the movie Almost Famous the other night. My gosh, was she good at it. 43. That's it. James Franco, 44. Jesse James, the monster garage guy with all the tattoos who, in addition to tattoos, had lots of swastikas around all over the place. And his wife, Sandra Bullock at the time, claims to have known nothing about it. I ain't buying it. I ain't buying it. Mark Volman, lead singer of the Turtles, 75. Turtles had some great songs. Happy Together, She'd Rather Be With Me. Eleanor, geez, I think you're swallowed all. Next to show. You showed me It Ain't Me, Babe, doing all the Bob Dylan stuff. Anyhow, he's 75 today. Dr. Frank Infurter. Tim Curry, 76 today. Jane Mansfield. This I did not know. She was only 5'1". She was 5'1". And she was 40, 21, 36. 40, 21, 36 at 5'1". The story is, by the way, she turned down the role of Ginger on Gilligan's Island back in the day. Anyhow, she checked out in 67. First Boston Marathon was run on this date 125 years ago in 1897. That's when they used to have officials run out onto the course and physically remove women from the race. And I don't know how confident I would be about going into a federal building today. Might be safer today than next year because next year will be the 30th anniversary, but today is the 29th anniversary of David Koresh and about 86 of his followers dying in that raging fire at the Branch Davidian headquarters in Waco, Texas, after the FBI tried to drive him out with tear gas. The FBI called the deaths mass suicide. And then 2 years later, that's when the truck bomb destroyed the Alfred P. Murrah building in Oklahoma City. They got Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols, rounded those boys up and shut their act down. And today I have saved the best for last. We're going to talk dicks. That's right. A new study ranked the size of men's junk in 86 different countries around the world. And get, you know, the first question I have is, who did that and how? The story is President Lyndon Johnson used to whip his out on regular occasions because he was so well endowed, and he would use it to, I don't know, prove a point, adjourn Congress, I don't know. Anyhow, somebody had to go around and do this. And there are practical questions that I have. It's like anything else. If you're really, really well hung, you're probably more inclined to show it because men are show-offs anyhow. If you're not that well endowed, it seems to me you'd be less likely to want to demonstrate for somebody who is inquisitive and doing a worldwide study. Certainly you couldn't have just asked the men because they're going to lie anyhow. But somehow, when this whole thing came out in the wash, American men ranked 59th on the list. 59th out of 86 countries. Average penis size, 5.35 inches. A men's health company called From Mars supposedly used Google data to come up with the numbers, but that's all we know. Anyhow, here's what they found. Ecuador, first, with an average of 6.93 inches. 21 different countries clocked in at over 6, including the top 5. Ecuador, Cameroon, Bolivia, Sudan, and Haiti. Yeah, that's what you want to do. You want to have sex with a guy from the AIDS capital of the world. At 5.35 inches, the U.S. barely tops Japan at 5.34, but we rank higher than the U.K. They're at 5.17, Ireland 5.03. Canada and Mexico both rank higher than the U.S. Meanwhile, Mexico 29th at 5.87 inches, Canada 12th at 6.19. And finally, last on the list is Cambodia. 3.95 inches. Then it's Taiwan, 4.24. The Philippines, 4.27. And Sri Lanka at 4.29. Finally, Hong Kong, 4.41. Now, if you're a woman and you can tell the difference between 5.35 and 5.34, or, you know, all of these numbers are within just a couple of fractions of an inch of one another. Anyhow, big dicks, my experiences, man, are like big boobs for men. There's like this initial rush when you first see big boobs in your man. You're like, holy crap, look at those. And then as time goes on, It's like anything else. You get used to it. You have a few more options. We just put it that way. There are going to be eventual gravity issues. You have to bring that into the discussion. And I think big dicks are the same way. You know, a woman might go, whoa, look at that. And then she starts thinking, I'm not so sure about this. And then there are some women who, you know, would find it a very disappointing experience if they found a guy who was handsome and nice, had a little money in the bank, was available. I'm sorry, sir, you came in at 5.17. I have the bar set at 5.35. Next! Come on, come on. But all of this discussion allows me to segue into this gentleman who made his way onto America's Got Talent.
I met this girl, and she's just great. This girl I just adore. The problem is, she has much more than I had bargained for. She's got that style. She's got that smile. She's got the walk. She's got the talk. She's got that zing. There's just one thing. She's got a penis. She's got that flair. Knows what to wear. She's got that face, that girlish grace. She's got pizzazz. Too bad she has a penis. Now there's always some failure, always some flaw. Ain't that what they call Murphy's Law? But male genitalia, that's where I draw the line. Besides, hers is bigger than mine. My life's a mess, 'cause under that dress, she's got a P-E-N-I-S. Yes.
That pretty much covers it. And with that, we say the Tuesday, April 19th, 2022 edition of the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jconthewine.com is in the can. Continue to spread the word, please. That really has had a lot to do with our success. We're in the top 10 of all podcasts in the country right now. We'd like to stay there. You may email me at jc at jconthewine.com. Facebook, the Showgram with JC Corcoran. We're absolutely free. We publish a little bit after 7 o'clock every weekday morning, and I hope you enjoy. All right. We archive everything, too. So have yourself a great day. Stay warm. This ain't no damn good right now, but it's going to warm up here in a day or two. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.